like graduation rates and so on. There's still a lot more work that we need to do in this area.
Mina, is this the same data that we saw?
No, so what we've tried to do, it's similar data. Last year you got 2008 and now you're getting the 2009. We've tried to give you as much updated data as we have available. The CIC data, the data for U of I, we have for 2010, but if you want to compare it to the other institutions, we still have only the 2009 data available. So we tried to, otherwise you were going to get a lot of 2008 data, so we figured we'd update it. Okay, the next slide shows you the composition of this year's 2010 entering freshman class. And this year's freshman class is comprised of 12.5% minority students. And by minority here, I'm talking about American Indian, Black, and Hispanic students on the Urbana campus. The percentage is 32.3% on the Chicago campus and 27.2% on the Springfield campus. The total numbers of underrepresented minority students did not decline appreciably, actually increased in the Chicago and Springfield campus, but the yield rate and the total number of African American students in the Urbana campus has dropped and is a matter of concern. Now, one of the things we've been doing as we analyze this data is also to try and not only benchmark the data, but also to try and look at it in terms of what are the challenges that they pose and what are the steps we're taking to address these challenges. So the big challenge is that academically strong students are highly recruited by other institutions, both within and outside of Illinois. So competitive financial aid and scholarships are absolutely critical for us to be competitive with our peers. And as you all know, raising dollars for scholarships is a major focus of President Hogan's message. So we hope that this is going to help us address this one issue. All the three campuses are focusing on efforts on student retention and success and looking at ways that they can provide sufficient scholarship and financial aid for the students to be able to attend one of our U of I campuses. Now, the next slide shows you the graduate and professional student enrollment of underrepresented minority students. And again, last May, we were able to show you the fall 2009 data, and here we are showing you the fall 2010 data. We've updated it. As we had last year, we have more. The diversity of our professional student population on all three campuses, or at least on the two major campuses, Urbana and Chicago, is greater than the number of students we're being able to recruit into our graduate programs. Our faculty are monitoring this because we are trying to make graduate programs more attractive to students, because this is a critical pipeline in order to assure that we have a diverse population from which to recruit faculty members. Because very often it's people who go through the graduate programs and not the professional programs who land up in the academy, and that's a matter of keen interest. Again, here, resources and support are an issue, and efforts like Bridge to the Doctorate and Diversifying Faculty of Illinois are programs that we are keenly aware of. If I can have the next slide, please. So in terms of total student development and means to advance diversity, there are a large number of efforts on all three campuses, starting with directed recruitment efforts, pre-college camps. We're developing and strengthening community college partnerships and articulation agreements. As I mentioned to you already, financial aid and scholarships and how we can best disperse the resources we have and actually improve those resources are a major point of focus on all three campuses. And what are we doing then once we recruit the students? What are we doing to provide support systems so that we can retain the students and get them to succeed and get them to excel in the programs they are enrolled in? In terms of feeding the pipeline, both our major campuses participate actively in the Summer Research Opportunity Program, which is a highly successful program of introducing students to research in the summer between their sophomore and junior years and between their junior and senior years, so that they can get attracted to the graduate professional graduate careers. The McNair Postbaccalaureate Achievement Program is highly successful in the Urbana campus. Chicago has a program called Bridge to the Doctorate. There's a lot of effort in the STEM disciplines, both in terms of gender support as well as for increasing diversity to get students interested in STEM disciplines. I've already mentioned to you about the Urban Health Program, which is responsible for over 70% of the healthcare professionals in the state of Illinois. And it's, as you heard from Michael Toney in May of last year, he did make a plea that that's a program that could probably use additional support. And there are obviously different fellowships, the Abraham Lincoln Fellowship, the Whitney Young Fellowship. And the Diversifying Higher Education Faculty in Illinois program is something that comes, it's a grant program that comes from IBHE. And that the total program is $2 million. U of I, between Chicago and Urbana, used to capture $1 million of that of those grants. And in the last 2 years, it's been cut. So our graduate students are suffering as a consequence of not having resources from that highly competitive program. Okay, the next slide deals with the race and ethnicity representation in our tenure system faculty. And here again, compared to our CIC peers, benchmarking against our peers, again, the Chicago campus ranks first, Urbana ranks second, and UIS, I believe, is sixth. The CIC average is shown on the right-hand side. And again, much like we have for trying to recruit highly qualified underrepresented minority students, one of our biggest challenges with underrepresented faculty is that they get highly recruited to other institutions. And the biggest draw is clearly better salary, better benefits, and protected time. In terms of work climate issues, all three campuses are trying hard to provide a happy work environment, a conducive work environment, but sometimes the attraction of a much, much more remunerative salary is something that we cannot necessarily compete with. And we have that with any of our skilled faculty. It's an issue that we're all dealing with. The next slide shows academic professionals and civil service staff. The academic professional data is on the left-hand side, and the civil service staff is on the right-hand side. And the good news in this, and as shown in the red bars, is that the recruitment of Latino-Latina staff have increased at all three campuses over the last decade, and probably rightfully reflects the shift in demographics. The other good news is that there's no overall dramatic change in the percentage of the race and ethnicity distribution of civil service staff, even in categories where the numbers have declined. So we are being able to keep a diverse staff in these two groups. However, there is one matter of concern, and that matter of concern is that there is a decline in the percentage of African Americans in the civil service staff. And I understand from my colleagues in the HR office that they are working with the state civil service system to come up with mechanisms for preparedness and diversifying the civil service registry so we can attract a more diverse pool into this category of our staff. Now, in terms of faculty and staff diversity enhancement, sort of again segueing into what Trustee Strobel had spoken about, I've sort of put both faculty and staff diversity enhancement in the same slide because there are a couple of issues that are common to both. And that is the whole idea of recruitment, the whole idea of recruiting through non-traditional sources of advertising and opportunity networking, and developing modules for training search committees to recruit for diversity and avoid unconscious biases. There's a tremendous amount of literature, some of it contributed to by many of our faculty at our three campuses, which underscore that if you recruit in very traditional Chronicle of Higher Education type of venues, you're not going to get a diverse pool of applicants, and you really need to reach out, and you need to reach out to other venues in order to be able to get a diverse pool of applicants. We've also developed modules of search committee training, and I think one of the things we need to do better is to share what we have in terms of how to avoid unconscious biases. In terms of then leadership training and development, and for faculty, there are mentorship programs, there are teaching academies to improve their teaching skills, research opportunities, and leadership training programs. And again, as Trustee Strobel mentioned, there are plans afoot to develop career progression programs for academic staff and for continuing professional development. We don't have enough of these, and we need to do more. Now, the next three slides, the next four slides, I'm sorry, deal with the diversity presentations working with minority-owned enterprises. In January of last year, Heather Habaraka gave you a very nice overview of what MAFB contracting was, how we define it. She presented data on MAFB contracts awarded over the last 3-4 years, and the impact that we were observing on budget restrictions on the awarding of these contracts. That was followed in September by a presentation by Mac Bass, who spoke about the explanation of the policy and the processes and to implement aspirational goals, and especially with regard to MAFB subcontractors and suppliers for construction projects, and all projects with a construction budget of greater than $250,000 will require good faith, a demonstration of good faith efforts, and documentation with project goals higher than their base goals. And then he proposed setting aside, having new aspiration goals that the board encouraged him to consider, which was set at 22%. And I'll have a table following this, and I'll explain that to you more in detail. And finally, the November 2010 board meeting, Heather came back and talked to you about professional service contractors, professional and artistic services, how they're defined by the Illinois Procurement Code, and what type of selection processes are utilized by this, and again, that the RFPs were going to include good faith efforts. So just to give you a little bit more data on this in the next slide, this slide represents FY09 and FY10 MAFB and diversity expenditures compared to University of Illinois addressable spend. The total addressable spend from state resources and all other funds is shown in the red line. The green box shows the diversity spend, and the blue boxes show the MAFB spend. We don't have the diversity spend, diversity expenditures for the FY10. That data is not yet available. So, and I'm going to look at Mike Bass to help me with the, if I goof up on the definitions of MAFB, but the MAFB definitions are very clearly defined by the Illinois Procurement Code, and it was businesses that did not make more than $31.4 million as of last year. That number is probably going to increase for this year. But when the university started looking at it, we said we not only need to look at the businesses we do with these minority-owned businesses as defined by the Illinois Act, we also need to look at other minority-owned businesses which may be larger than $31.4 million. And that's what's represented in the green bar. The next slide shows the aspirational goals that Mike presented to you and that the board then approved of in the November board meeting as a policy. Shown in the first column, what was the aspirational goal that was initially set for the four locations, Chicago, Urbana, Springfield, and Peoria, Rockford. The middle column shows what was the UofI weighted average in terms of their performance. And on the right-hand side are the aspirational goals that were presented and approved by the board in November. The idea is that if we meet these aspirational goals, then they'll come back to the board for further increasing